Thank you so much, John, for a good illustration there, leading us to our passage in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building his house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood rose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. This is the word of God for the people of God. Our message on building the house on a firm foundation comes just a few weeks after the flooding occurred in Midland, and the timing of this makes me think that we have an opportunity to really understand this message. The flood imagery is still pretty fresh on our minds. You remember the song that we sang as children? I want you to sing that song with me, would you? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. Okay, now you take that song with you as we think about this message today. But Jesus talked about two different people. One who had a shaky foundation, Matthew says, was on the sand, was washed away in the flood. And the other had a solid foundation that stood throughout the storm and the rains and the flood. Well, what's the message here? The message is that we must build our lives on Jesus Christ and on the words that he speaks to us. You know, Jesus, as a carpenter's son, was probably very familiar with what happened in building houses, putting them on the firm foundation. His listeners also would have been familiar with the devastating results of water. Now, we might think that in the arid country of Palestine, you know, what problems do they have with floods? But floods can occur there too. And just recently, a big one happened in 2013, a flash flood. So Jesus had the attention of the people in his day. And of course, our attention is there too, because we don't want our houses destroyed again. A lot of people have been talking about, what are we going to do? How can we improve our homes? What can we do in the city and in the county? And I read one article said, you know, and everybody's been talking about it, but you got to make sure the mortar cracks in your basement are sealed. Invest in a battery-powered sump pump if the power goes out. Move expensive items to a higher location. Elevate your furnaces, hot water heaters. Put electric sockets up 12 inches. Another person said, anchor your... You can all go home and do this now, but... Anchor your fuel tanks so they don't float away, releasing fuel, and on. Install sewer valves so liquid only go one different way. But just as we want to be prepared for a physical flood, wouldn't it make sense for us to heed the words of Christ and be prepared for a flood that can hit us emotionally, spiritually, and even physically? And somebody says, well, but the homes were different in Jesus' time, Pastor. They didn't have basements like we did. Well, that's somewhat true. There were some basements, and they didn't have all the accoutrements that we did. And if water got in there, there wasn't so much damage. But they had the problem of the whole house washing away, too. And so Jesus made the point that just as every home needs a good foundation, every life needs a foundation. I think all of us understand that we need a firm foundation as we raise our kids. We talked about that this morning as Sierra is raised, the importance of a foundation. We understand the importance of a foundation in our businesses and even how we govern this country. A standard upon which we build our lives. Truths that will withstand the storm. I want to ask you this morning, what foundation are you building your life on? Jesus said he was that foundation. Now, we all know that, but are we doing it? The teaching of Christ, the words of Christ, is what every life needs. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, the foundation of Jesus Christ." I want to tell you that as a pastor and our pastoral team and our other leadership and our visioning team, we are seeking to lay the foundation on Jesus Christ. If churches neglect the foundation, they can build a ministry that is built on shifting sand. So we need to be intentional. And you know, it's easy for any one of us to neglect the sure foundation. It starts with this, that we must, in our heart and mind, decide that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, sent from heaven above, to bring truth and life, to teach us the way. First, we have to decide that. You know, there are many voices in our world, many philosophies that seek to grab our interest and our devotion. We have to decide, again, if the claims of Jesus are worthy to be taken seriously. Many have decided to reject his life, his word, and even question whether he even lived. When I was in college, I studied other religions, Baha'i, Zoroastrianism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. And my faith was tested by professors who challenged what I believed in Jesus Christ. Now, as I studied these other faiths, I admired the devotion of the followers of these religions. I realized the many good truths that were there, but I realized also that no other faith told me of a God that would die for my sins, who would love me as his child and make me his family, who would walk with me day by day, who would live inside of me by the Holy Spirit, and would declare to me, not hope so, maybe so, wouldn't it be wonderful, but would declare to me that my name is written on the book of life. And no one would take it away. I found that the song which says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand," was true. Have you decided to build your life upon the cornerstone, the rock which is Jesus Christ? I know you have, but some perhaps are uncertain. I invite you to do that today and to say, "Lord, I give you my life. Be my rock. Be my redeemer. Be my refuge. Be my God, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord." So that's the first step, is laying the foundation in our lives. Second of all, we need to build, I believe, our families and our relationships on the firm foundation. Just as a physical home needs a firm foundation, so do our lives and the family and our relationships need a spiritual and moral foundation. How are you raising your kids? How are you influencing your grandchildren? Do they understand from you that Jesus Christ is the rock upon which they stand? I've shared this before, but it's part of my life story. I'll share it again. I was deeply influenced by my grandparents, John Ellis Landis and Esther Landis, who lived right next door. Grandpa was a Mennonite deacon, and his father was an evangelist. I would go down there every day in the summer. Grandma made some of the best lemonade and cookies in the world. Grandma also made whoopie pies. Ooh. And I've yet to find a whoopie pie that matches Grandma's. They're made by the Amish and the Mennonites. But they had devotions at every meal. And they had prayer. And they would take me to vacation Bible school. And they would ask me what I was learning. And my parents would take us to church, but I will tell you, my grandparents were intentional about letting the light shine and telling me about the rock. I remember on one occasion I traveled with my grandfather. He would buy cattle, go down to Virginia. And one night, you can imagine a 10-year-old sitting in a cattle auction. But I loved being with my grandfather. But one night, he kneeled by the bed, and he was a big man. And he said, "John David, would you join me in prayer?" I felt the power of God as I knelt next to Grandpa. And I truly believe that my grandparents played a big role in my call into the ministry. So, do you take time to instruct your children? Do you have daily devotions? You know, I understand life can be rushed. When our kids were in elementary school and middle school, I would do my best to have a devotion. Sometimes we didn't have time. I'd have them read it on the way to school. We fought to have time for prayer with our kids going to bed. You know, our church wants to assist you in building a firm foundation in your family and in your relationship. And we're doing everything we can. We had this wonderful vacation Bible school just less than a month ago, and they had over 100 kids, and many of you were there, and you helped out, and it was a wonderful experience. But we can't just stop with that event. We have a Sunday school kickoff this fall, and we have activities for children and youth. So be active, inviting them, and get them out, and be part of our kids' club. Abby Shepherd and Rick Rick Shell have a wonderful love for kids and a great program for them. So building the firm foundation for our children and our grandchildren, though, must start with the relationship between parents, husbands and wives. Are you building your marriage on the firm foundation? Again, life places many demands on us, and young parents, again, are rushing to get kids to school, to sporting events, community activities. And then there's vacations, there's hobbies, there's taking care of our homes, there's restoring our homes. But if we're not, everything clamors for our time, and if we're not careful, we won't have time to talk and pray together. Husbands and wives, parents, significant others, share the things you're learning from your devotions. This will help you deal with the stresses of life. And then I would challenge you, think about joining a Sunday school class this fall. And then after church, talk about what you're learning and read the lessons through the week. This will help you deepen your faith. If spouses are not building their lives on the firm foundation, when the storms come, they may find themselves being washed away. And some of you are thinking of people right now whose home has been washed away. Do not despair. It's not too late. Just like people are restoring homes in Midland, Christ can rebuild what has been destroyed. Jesus Christ is in the business of rebuilding lives. He does not invite us to come when we're perfect, but he invites us to come with an open heart. Some of the most powerful disciples, like Mary Magdalene and Matthew, the tax collector, were people that had messed up lives and were doing lots of stuff they shouldn't have been doing. And Christ invited them, and they believed, and they built their lives upon the rock, and they went on to become great leaders and to change the whole world. And God can take your life and my life despite the struggles we face, and all we need to do is say, Lord, I give it to you. Be my rock, be my redeemer, be my strength, be my foundation, and God will make something beautiful of it. Well, thirdly, building a firm foundation takes a lot of effort. Jesus said that the one who built a solid home dug down deep into the rock. And the person obviously on the sand and digged it so deep and maybe didn't put as much effort into it. I read that the tallest building in the world, second tallest, excuse me, is the Shanghai Tower. Has anybody seen the Shanghai Tower? One person, okay. But it's something like 2,000 plus feet tall. But they dug down and put pilings down as deep as 280 feet so the foundation could keep the tower strong in the storm. And sometimes we need to dig a little deeper and we need to put a little more effort into it on building on that foundation. Jesus was a little bit disappointed with his hearers at this point. And he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I tell you? We all are guilty of that, aren't we? We must be careful as followers of Christ that we put into practice. We take the effort to take the preaching and the teaching and the things we read in the Word and to act on it. If we come into the sanctuary and we say, well, that was a good message, but we walk out and we don't do anything differently, we've missed it. As I think about building on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, there were a number of things that he taught and lived that were of utmost importance. And I want to look at some of these with you. Jesus taught us to forgive. That's a foundation. And he taught us to be a servant. That's a foundation. And of course, to love is another foundation. And these are things that we must build our lives on. The storms of life can break relationships, can split churches, and even divide nations. Because these principles of forgiveness and servanthood and, of course, love have been neglected. Don't you? I don't know if you're like me, but I just hate to hear when two people are really good friends, they've been so for years, and something happened, and now they don't talk. One person broke the other person's heart, and they could not forgive, and it destroyed the relationship. The principles of servanthood and forgiveness are important in the family. They're important in the church. Building a firm foundation on Christ's principles also applies to how we treat our neighbors. How many know that sometimes there can be a neighbor that can get on your nerves? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? You don't have to raise your hand. Maybe we can get on their nerves too. And we all got to work at that. You know, you cut a tree down, and it's your tree, and the neighbor says, well, why did you cut that tree down? I like that tree. You know, stuff like that. We were on a boat going down a river. I won't tell you where it is, but there's two palatial homes, and one person built a really big boathouse. I mean, like half the size of the sanctuary. So it was blocking the other neighbor's view. So the other neighbor built a really big dock and a really big house at the end of the dock. So now both neighbors can't see as well at all. We must have love, forgiveness, and a servant attitude. Let me give you some principles from God's Word that I think are building the firm foundation in relationships. Some of the things that Jesus said in Luke and in Matthew. Number one, I want you to, you can write these things down and try to practice these things. Put them into action. Number one, be a servant. It's so easy to be wrapped up in our own agenda. And I was really blessed. So many people stepped out of their own agenda the past few weeks and helped their neighbor with the flood. But let's do that all the time. Jesus, as the Son of God, humbled himself and became a servant. Philippians 2, 7. That, I believe, is building a firm foundation. Number two, be a lover. If a family member or a friend has behaved in a manner that offended you and you feel like you could spit nails, okay, it really got to you. Proverbs 17, 7 says this, a friend loves at all times. So keep on loving that friend, that family member. That is building a firm foundation. Number three, be a forgiving person. If someone at work, a neighbor, or even someone in a church speaks unkind words about you, forgive them. Don't seek to pay them back. The Bible says, do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. Whoo, that's hard. Romans 12, 17. Number four, building a foundation in honoring others. You know, sometimes it's hard for children, teens, to honor parents because they think mom and dad are out of touch, but kids, honor your parents. And sometimes persons, you have older parents that are getting confused, and they're getting ornery, and you're trying to take care of them. It's difficult. But I read this verse in the Bible, Leviticus 19:32. Wow, this is unbelievable. You shall rise before the aged. That means to show honor and defer to the elderly. Wow. Still seek to show honor. Number five, fill your mind with good things. You know, there are crude things that people say. There are violent acts. There are immoral things. Do not let that stuff in your head, because it will mess you up. And Corinthians talks about that. And Philippians 4:8 says, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then number six, Jesus taught about this too. Don't let money control you. If you want to make sure you're not materialistic or controlled by money, lay a foundation of giving and caring for others. And the church challenges us to think about tithing. Proverbs, listen to this, 19:17 says this, whoever is kind to the poor, that means giving to others, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. You're giving to God's bank. And you will be repaid in full. The more generous we are with giving, God will bless us even more and more. And then number seven, foundation, put God first. The Bible says we are to seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus says. We are to pray without ceasing, to pray always. Start your day with God, end your day with God, and spend time in throughout the day in prayer. Jesus is to be our foundation. The first step is to receive him, believe he is who he said he was, and then to know him and love him and live our lives according to his word. I want you to sing the end part of that song with me now as we wrap up. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings come down as your prayers go up. The blessings come down as your prayers go up. The blessings come down as your prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord.